Hope you'll pray for me the time I'm before you. That won't be but a few minutes. Because we want to hear our pastor, and we don't want to get here, get started, and use a lot of time. And sit down apologizing for what we did. We try to keep that in mind each time we come before the Lord's children. Hope you'll pray for us. We got a subject we want to read and introduce it and talk about it. Might not be able to get very far with it. But I couldn't talk about something that's not on my mind. I don't have a desire to do that. I don't know about Brother Sam, but I'm sure before he leaves home, he tries to beg the Lord to give him a subject and something to talk about. That's my plea. If I didn't, I wouldn't leave. I'd just stay at home. I've got to beg him to give me something. If he don't give me nothing, I won't have anything. I'm just empty-handed. I'm not able. So we'll get to the point and get to the subject. In the third chapter of Acts of the Apostles, we want to read something that's taking place. And, when Brother Sam said about the religious order that mentioned about that we don't have much here in life and not much promise hereafter, this book here is full of things that I could, bring about and talk about if God would bless me to do so. But if he don't bless me to do so, then I can't. We're going to read about Peter and John on one occasion, And I am a firm believer in prayer. I believe prayer is the answer to all of our problems here in life. And I got a great reason to tell you, and I wouldn't have time to go into all of them. Because in World War II, I landed in Nagasaki, Japan on November of 1945. And listen, my friend, if you had never been in the Army of the United States of America or Marine Corps or the Navy, you really don't know what it's all about. What I'm saying is, you got somebody that controls you. You got somebody that tells you every morning and every hour of the day just what you can do and what you cannot do. So if you haven't been in that place, and I say this about it, every young boy and girl would do them real good to spend 2 years. At least they could say they had 2 years of somebody controlling them and giving them some orders and enabling them to understand what life is all about. A lot of them, stay home with mama, boys and girls, and don't know how to make up a bed. They learn that there. Because that's the first thing they learn. Because the first night, I remember when I stayed, the sergeant came down the aisle, he said, "Look, here's a mama's boy. He don't know how to make up his bed." Why? He looked at it and he could tell. That was very humiliating to that young man. I was 28 years old at that time. He was 18. And I didn't like that. I thought to myself, "Sergeant, you didn't have to be that ugly about it." My sympathy was for him. It wasn't his fault. It was his mother's fault. Or his father, whichever the case, or both. They should have taught him something about fixing his bed in order. And he just turned it bottom side up and said, "Now, start over." That really got me. I didn't like that. But I'd been in the service before, in the Civilian Conservation Corps. I knew what it was. I knew what I was into. And I knew how to fix mine. Now, sorry for him. I said that to read this. "Now Peter and John went up together." Notice they went up together. "Into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know where it's wintertime, summertime, or what. But 3 o'clock this afternoon, it's really hot, isn't it? be a kind of a bad time to be going out to service, wouldn't it? And especially in their day. We come in here in this building, we got air conditioner. Oh, we go in places where they got fans. I'm satisfied in that temple on that occasion. They didn't know what a fan was. Unless it was one that was do with your hat. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Daily they carried him. Well, they needed to. He wasn't able to work. He couldn't work. He had to have a livelihood. And what that man was concerned about and was very important to him, I hope you'll be able to get it and see. Inasmuch as he couldn't walk, he was dependent on other people for his livelihood. And he was looking for some help. And these two preachers that went in, most of the time, you know, preachers don't have much. That is, to share. Talking about it in a natural sense. There's some of us have. Most of us don't. No, Peter and John, we find out they didn't have, you know, much to when it comes to arms. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, he had got their attention. They just, you know, really felt like he'd get something. Listen, my friends, before we get through reading about it, we'll find out that he got more than alms. He got something he wasn't even looking for. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He had something better than arms, didn't he? The man had never walked, never been able to walk. Mind you, had to be carried there daily. You know, when I read things like this, and then begin to think about how blessed we are. I'm talking about as individuals here in this life. You know, I don't know about you. The Lord's been good to me. I'm right on the brink of being 74. I've been able to walk. I've had good health. God's blessed me in a wonderful way. Listen, I'm not up here to boast about that. But what I want to call your attention to, this man had never walked. He was born like that. Says from his mother's womb, was carried daily. And here it is that Apostle Peter, as he taken him, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not after a while. That's the way God works. According to His will. Notice what He said about it. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, he had something to praise God for, didn't he? I mean, he had something to praise God that day. And the rest of his days here in this life. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What a miracle. That's what it was. And the miracle was because of what the Lord blessed Peter to being able to do. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. In other words, they were surprised to what had taken place. In other words, just can't believe their eyes what they're seeing on this occasion. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering what had taken place. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by my own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk?" And he's giving them the reason. And the next verse, tell them just how it was done. If you go if you read, and listen, I want to say this about it. We ought to be read. We ought to read God's Word. Not be like the one there that I've heard it said, look. They said that's what we pay our preacher to. He reads the Word, teaches us, and tells us. Listen, my friend, I believe if every one of God's children here in this world, you ought to be enough interested in what's going on in the church and as a member of the body that you already read. You know whether or not the man's reading what he's reading. Then you'll be able to understand and distinguish whether or not he's making the application as it ought to be, whether it's the truth or not. And I believe we ought to be. This thing you call church and membership, my friend, is important and should be as much so as your home where you live. That's why we say that in our church, you know, we ought to have everything as fine as we have it at home. In other words, I believe that ought to be our foremost and thought in life, that we have the church where we meet and worship, but everything as fine as we got it at home. And be willing to spend and have it comfortable, I'm talking about. And not mind doing our responsibility. And being able to read, and which the man read. In the 13th verse he said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." Why was he wanting to let him go? You know, remember his wife said, told him not to have nothing to do with this. That they didn't find no fault with it. That he was a perfect man. He had made no mistakes. And which our Lord did. He is a perfect man. He is able to keep the law to a jot and a tittle. Now what Peter is saying, he said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desiring murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." That is, Peter and John witnessed that on that occasion when he was crucified. That is, when he rose. You remember what our Lord said when he hung his head, before he hung his head and finished. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And that's exactly what taking place. The Spirit of Almighty God didn't go in the grave. But that body of Jesus' body was placed in the grave for 3 days and nights. And on the third morning he arose. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In other words, Peter, what he was wanting to get over was that don't have no idea of what's taking place, because I told him to give the man my hand and he was able to rise up and walk. It was not in my strength and my power, but it was in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he was enabled to rise up and walk. The same applies, you know, to each one of us from the standpoint here in life. That when it pleases the Lord, that he calls us out of nature's darkness, and his marvelous light enables us to see the church and God's kingdom. It's then that we enable to know the Lord. I don't know about you. That's the way it was with me. I traveled 24 years here in life and I didn't know who the Lord was. And I did everything that I so desired. You know why I did? I didn't fear the Lord. But listen, my friend, when he came, when the Lord came up to this poor sinner that stand before you this evening and quickened me and give me spiritual life, I want you to know there's a fear come over me then, and it's still been ever since. There are a lot of things I'm fearing to do here in this world. And the reason it is because that I know God is able to take care of and will take care of it if I don't do the right thing. Listen, he don't have no respect of persons either. It don't matter who that we know. We've had a few preachers, you know, that decided within themselves that they could do anything they wanted to do and get by with it. Listen, my friend, they may try, but it won't work. I can tell you now. I be called old brother David tried it, and it didn't work for him. And if it didn't work for David, it won't work for none of us today. And brother Sam, it won't work for you either. I'm saying here that we, the Lord's people, we need to fear the Lord, keep His commandments, and walk uprightly, and be example to the flock of God. That's what Peter said on one occasion when he talked about the servants of God and the minister, my friend. We ought to be example, and I feel sure that we ought to be. Not only that, my friends, but I'll say in closing, it is to the responsibility of every little child of God here in this world that you, and especially, and it don't matter, you don't have to be a member of the church, but I'll say this about it, if you love the Lord and He's called you out of darkness and His marvelous light, you ought to be. And it's you ought to have a desire to pray for it. And especially pray for your pastor. You don't have no idea the problems that he has along life's way. You go home, most of you, and you go to bed and go to sleep. You're not looking for nobody to call you. But the pastor, like the doctor, they got to keep somebody, you know, at the hospital and in the emergency room. They take turns about it because they don't know when they're going to get a call. Listen, he don't know when he's going to get a call. And when he gets a call, to go, my friends, he must go. Yes, it is. A lot of times, you know, I've had to do the same. I know what I'm talking about. And a lot of times my wife seemingly couldn't understand. She didn't really understand that it was so necessary. But my friends, I believe that when we as God's children here in this world, we ought to have a little prayer on our heart, and especially, I learned a long time ago, I couldn't be everybody's pastor, and I don't have a desire. But I'm saying this, my friend, we ought to have a desire to pray for our pastor in all times, and not just when we're at church, you know, but we need to keep him in mind, because he had a lot of things here in life. He has chosen that being the pastor of the body, and he had a lot of responsibility and a lot of judgment to carry on as a said servant of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Peter didn't want them people to have no idea that what he had done was in what he had done in his power, but it was in the power of the Almighty God. So I'm saying here tonight, and to you at Coos Plains Church, that when the Lord blesses this man and our pastor to go in and out the porch here and be the servant of God, we need to pray for him, that the Lord might supply him with that grace that he needs daily here in this life to do his duty and responsibility and do that that God would have him to do. And in turn, you'll be blessed. May the Lord bless you, our friend. Amen.